Amen. You will take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 91 as we stand in honor of the reading of God's word this morning. Psalms 91. I want to focus this morning on two verses from this psalm. I want to look at verse number 1, and then I also want to read verse 9 as we seek to hear a word from the Lord this morning. Verse 1 reads, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Verse 9 reads, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation." I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of whatever you do, stay close to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time now. And God, we thank you for everything that's been done. We pray that it's been pleasing in your sight. Lord, we pray a special blessing over the new believers, and we pray a special blessing over this family who have dedicated this child, and we pray a special and peculiar and a particular blessing over this church body, Lord. God, most of all, we pray that your name would be glorified in our hearts. And Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning in such a way that all of us will be able to understand it and apply it to our daily lives. In Jesus' name we asked. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. I'm convinced that it is very possible for a person to be saved by the grace of God, to be brought into the family of God, and to live their whole Christian life and never really know the God who saved them. Because of the cares of the world, the distractions of life, because of the schemes of the enemy and the lust of the flesh, it's very easy to be saved and on your way to glory and never really get to know the God who loves you and saves you. Most Christians will live their entire Christian life and they'll never realize or never come to the understanding that one of the primary reasons why God saved us is to fellowship with us. Amen. Folks, I want to tell you this morning that God did not save you from sin simply to keep you from going to hell. That was part of the purpose, but that was not all of the purpose. God saved you and God saved me so that we could spend a lifetime of fellowshipping and communing with him. I want to say this morning to the new believers, please don't make the mistake that many of us as Christians have made in our life. And that is, you get saved and you don't go no further with the Lord. You get saved and you get baptized, but you never grow in the knowledge and in the grace of who God is. God saves us, not just to keep us out of hell, but God saved us so that you and I could live a lifetime of fellowshipping and communing with him. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, that God wants to be close to you. God wants to share his life with you while you share your life with him. God wants to be a part of everything that you experience and everything that you go through. God wants to be there. He saved you for fellowship. He saved you for his glory and for his purpose. He saved you so that you could live in constant communication with him. One of the great tragedies in the church today is that many of us get saved and we just stop there. We get saved and we become satisfied, not knowing that there's so much more to God than just Savior. So much more that God wants to show you. So much more that God wants to do in you. Salvation is just the first glorious step to a lifelong journey with the most exciting person that you'll ever meet in all your life. It's a journey with God. And the sad tragedy is that many of us will live our whole Christian life and we'll never get to know what we ought to know about God. This song, I believe, is God's way of trying to encourage us to come up a little higher. It's God's way of trying to encourage us to stay close to him as we travel from earth to glory. It's God's way of trying to encourage us to don't waste our whole lives on the temporary and the deceiving things of this world, but the best investment that we can make is when we invest our lives walking with God. Amen. So I want you to look at this text with us this morning, because the writer here, in these few verses, he gives us four things or four secrets to staying close to God. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number one that the writer is not just speaking to anybody, but he's talking about a specific group of people when he talks about the secret place. He's talking to those who dwell there. He's talking to those who remain in a close fellowship and a close relationship with the Lord. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you close to the Lord? Are you walking with him on a daily basis? Do you spend time in fellowship with him? Do you spend time talking to him and allowing him to talk to you? Or is this morning the first time that God's seen you or heard from you in a while? The writer here is talking about those people who enter into that sweet place, that secret place with the Lord. In verse number one, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There is a place, young people. There is a place that you can get to with God that's better than any place that this world can offer. So four things I want to share with you this morning from the text. Because the question is, how do we get to this secret place? How do we get to the secret place? How do we get to that place whereby we experience God in a greater way? How do we get to that place whereby we see the glory of God and we feel the presence of God and we experience God for more than just Savior, but he becomes our friend. He becomes our closest companion. He moves from just being our Savior. We begin to recognize him as our everything. The problem with some of us as Christians, Lord help us, is that we need to come a little closer to the one who saved us. The problem with some of us as Christians, why we have no joy and we have no peace and nothing works out for us, is because we need to pursue with greater fervency the one who first pursued us. There are many of us who have become satisfied. Lord, help me preach this morning. We've become satisfied with a long distance relationship with God. But God will never be happy until you're right under the shadow of his wings. He wants you close to him. The problems that you're dealing with, the issues that you're facing, they will never go away until you get in the presence of the Lord. Question this morning is, how do we get to the secret place? Well, number one, the first thing is that you got to trust him. You got to trust him. Listen what the word says in verse number two. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. You got to trust him. The whole Christian life is built upon faith in God. Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I want you to look at verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The first key to getting to the secret place is you got to trust him. You got to depend upon him. You got to forget your ideas and forget your plans and forget your strength. And you got to look to him. You got to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Lord, help us this morning. The problem with many of us is that we're depending on ourselves more than we're depending on God. Let me tell you something about our understanding. It's limited. Amen. Not only is it limited, but it's flawed. Not only is it flawed, but it's dangerous. Not only is it dangerous, but it's changeable. I had to come to the place where I believed that I can't trust Anthony no more. Can't depend on Anthony. Listen, what Anthony thinks he's got figured out, he ain't got figured out at all. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. You got to trust him when he says yes. You got to trust him when he says no. You got to trust him when he says stand still. You got to trust him when he said move. You got to trust him when he said hold on to it. You got to trust him when he says turn it loose. You got to trust him. There'll come a time in your life when God will say move when you don't think you ought to be moving. But the best deal is just to move. God always sees what we can't see. God always understands better what we don't understand. And so the first thing is you got to trust him. Listen to what he says. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. You know what that means? It means in every plan that you have, get God involved. Get God involved. Oh, I wish I had got God involved in some financial plans that I had. I wish I had got God involved in some decisions that I made. It probably would have saved me some tears. I know it would have saved me some money. It probably would have saved me some pain and heartache if I just had a got God involved. Amen. Number one, you got to trust him. Amen. You got to trust him. Listen to me. You will never get in the secret place without faith. You'll never do it. You will never get to that place of peace beyond your understanding until you trust him. till you trust him. Solomon says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Really, what that means, that in every plan, in every decision that you're planning on making, you need to take time to pray about it. Amen. Listen, if you can't pray about it, you better not do it. If you can't lay it before God before you buy it, you probably don't need it. If you can't lay it before God before you get there, before you enter into that place, you probably don't need to go. You see, we're funny folks. Amen. You've heard me say this before, and it's the truth. We want to go, and then we want to ask God to take care of us while we're there. We want to abide, and then we want God to give us the plan on how we're going to pay for it. He said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Go back to Psalms with me for just a moment. Psalm 91. The first thing the Bible tells us, he said, we got to trust him. We got to trust him. Here's the second thing about the secret place. And that is, you have to make a decision that you are going to let nothing keep you from getting there. That don't sound like much, but I want you to notice something that the writer says in these verses. He said in verse 1, he uses the word dwell. In verse 1 again, he uses the word abide. Then down in verse 9, he said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. You're going to get to the secret place. Listen, you got to make a decision that I'm not going to let anybody, and I'm not going to let nothing keep me from getting to that place with the Lord. Amen. There's something in this world that's always trying to get our attention. There's something in this world that's always pulling at us. There's something or somebody that always wants our loyalty. The word that the writer uses in verse number 9 for habitation, it means a dwelling place. It's not a place that you visit every now and then, but it's a way of life. It's a dwelling place. He uses the word refuge. He uses the word dwell. And what the writer here is trying to tell us is that he had made a decision that he was going to overcome and outlast everything that tried to block him and keep him from the secret place with the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you this morning that the devil, the flesh, and the world, Jasmine, they will come at you. They will seek to keep you from being in that place where God is number one in your life. Got to make a decision. Oh, you got to believe that the secret place is worth the battle. You got to believe that the secret place is worth the effort. Turn with me to St. John chapter 15. Look at St. John chapter 15. Jesus here is talking to the disciples. In verse number 4, he tells them to abide in me and I in you. He says, else the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is trying to teach us is the very same thing that the psalmist is trying to teach us in Psalm 91, is that you got to make a decision that there is no place greater than the secret place with God. Jesus said, you abide in me. The word abide means here to stay connected to. It means don't let nothing come between you and God. It means to stay close to. Jesus tells us when we abide in him, when we stay close to him, number one, we live a fruitful life. Amen. Number two, we are cleansed through the word. and through our fellowship with him. You ever just felt dirty in your soul? Amen. You ever just been to that place where you just feel nasty? If you go back and check, most of the time what you're going to find is that you allow something or someone to get between you and your secret place with God. Amen. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you something. Listen, whatever you're dealing with this morning, whatever you're facing, whatever your issues or your problems is this morning, I want to promise you that you will never overcome them apart from your fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. The secret place. That place where you're in tune with God. That place of oneness with him. That place, listen. That place of fellowship where he's talking to you and you're talking to him. Number one, you got to trust him. Number two, you got to make a decision that there's no place more important than the secret place. You got to abide there. You got to dwell there. You got to make it your habitation. It's got to become the most important thing in your life. Jasmine, I promise you this morning, Kobe, I promise you that, listen, that if you don't make being in the presence of the Lord number one in your life, it will not be long before the world or the devil offers you something that will drag you away. It's in the presence of the Lord where we find strength to deal with the temptations. It's in the presence of the Lord where we find strength to outlast and outlive the problems that will come. Amen. They will come. Go back to Psalm with me for just a minute. We're just about finished. This making sense this morning? Amen. Listen. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. Now up until verse 14, the writer's been talking. But in verse 14, God starts talking. In verse 14, God takes over the conversation. And listen what the Lord said. He said, because he has set his love upon me. You need to underline that. Don't sleep on me this morning. You need to underline that. Listen. God says, because the person who dwells in the secret place, because the person who continually draw close to me, because the person who continually is in fellowship and communion with me, he has set his love upon me. Listen, what that literally means, it means that he has made me number one in his life. Amen. Because he loves me more than the money in the world and the fame and the fortune. Because I'm number one, because he loves me. Because he loves me. Listen, you don't have to turn there, but write this verse down. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus says, he that loves sister or brother or father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God number one in your life? Is God number one in your life? Or has God, after the day you become saved, begin to fall down the priority list? Do you love God more than you do your job? Do you love God more than you do your favorite sports team? Do you love God more than your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Do you love God more than you do the habit that's trying to destroy you? Amen. Bless you, Lord. Amen. You will never get in the secret place with God until you start showing him some love. That's why he saved you. He saved you to live your whole life in a love relationship with him. Let me tell you the secret. I'm closing. God don't need your money because your money is his money. Amen. God don't necessarily have to have your service because the Bible says that there are angels that constantly all of the time is worshiping him and serving him. So you say, what is God after? He's after you. That's what he wants. He wants you. More than anything else, he wants you. And God will not be happy with anything else that we offer him until he has us. And when he got us, he knows he can get anything else that we got. The word of God said, because he has set his love upon me. God said, I'm going to do some great things for him. You can read them, but here's my final point this morning. My final point is, when you dwell in the secret place, you get to experience unmerited favor from God. Amen. The verses says that I hear him when he prays. I will deliver him and I'll honor him. In other words, God said, I'm going to bless him. And so I just come this morning just to encourage and tell you, don't settle with a long-distance relationship with God. I don't know how close you are to the Lord, but I can tell you this much. All of us could be a little bit closer. Amen. Tradition says that perhaps Moses wrote this psalm. And perhaps, not sure, but perhaps Moses wrote this psalm with the tabernacle in mind. In the tabernacle of God, there was the outer court. That's where the ordinary people could come. They couldn't come any further than that. That's all close they could come. They were never permitted to come any closer than that. It was called the court of the Gentiles. They could come there. And from a distance, they could worship God. And they could offer their praise. But that's as close as they could come. But then there was another section in the tabernacle that was called the holies. It was there that the priests could come. They would replenish the tables and do the services there. The ordinary man couldn't come there. Only a Jewish priest. But then there was the Holy of Holies. There in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant of God, which represented the presence of God. And the priest, the high priest, not just any ordinary priest, but the high priest could only go in there one time a year, and he had to have blood to make atonement for the sins. For thousands of years, the ordinary man was never able to see into the Holy of Holies. There was a veil that kept him separated from God's presence. But oh, bless God today. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the ordinary folks was rent from the top to the bottom. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Which allows you and I to come in. We don't have to go through some man anymore. You ain't got to go through no pastor or no preacher. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive help in time of trouble. And so again, listen, here's my heart this morning. Whether it makes sense or not, only the Lord knows. But here's my heart this morning. Don't settle with a long distance relationship with the Lord. Stop letting the things of this world pull you away from the greatest lover that you ever have. Stop cheating yourself out of the greatest fellowship this side of glory. God said, I want you to come to the secret place. I want you to come to the secret place. I want to show you some things about me that you hadn't known before. I want to do some things for you that you thought couldn't be done. I want to give you some victories that you thought were certain defeats. I want you to come close to me. Come close to me. You stand this morning.